Raidieraksts drošinātājs. Hello, Katarina.
Hello.
When we started the podcast about Ukrainian freedom struggle, I never thought that one day main topic of our episode would be intimacy and or sex life of soldiers. However, a special resex program has been created at the Ukrainian Veterans Fund, which focuses on intimacy issues related to injured war veterans. You are the senior project manager of resex, so you are the best person to tell me. What is this program and what were the reasons for its creation?
Actually, we thought about this project for a long time, even before the full-scale invasion. But we couldn't find money because for donors and for other organizations, it seemed like not crucial or not a priority for veterans. And after a full-scale invasion, we managed to find money for this project, and we were very happy about this, and we did this whole project. Inspiration for this project was by book Sex and Intimacy for Wounded Veterans by Katrin Ellis. She's American and she wrote this book. She's a physical therapist. She wrote this book for veterans, and we thought that it would be great to have something like this for Ukrainian veterans, but didn't want just to translate this book. We wanted to do our book for Ukrainian veterans in Ukrainian context. So at first we did research about how this transition again to sex and intimacy are going among people who are wounded, among warriors who are wounded, and among their partners. And based on this research, we wrote manual for women and for men, veteran, how they can go back to their partners, to their relationship, how they can go back to dating after injuries they have.
So are we basically talking about physical injuries, that someone lost a leg or a hand or other some other injury? Is that the case?
Yes, we mostly talk about physical injuries, but in our book manual, it's mostly manual, not book, we also have different parts. And one of chapter is about how psychologically you returning from war to civil life. So because it also influences you, your physical body, yeah, and your physical activities.
I understand. So you put out two books, two guidebooks, and you also have a webpage in Ukrainian. I'm seeing it now. There's a lot of topics, very practical advices, how to talk about sex, about changes in sexuality, many different topics. So how does this program really works? Do veterans call you and ask for advice, or you distribute this guidebook to wherever veterans might be? Mm-hmm. How it's in practical terms?
Yes. In addition to the manual, to the research, we also have this website with videos, with articles on a lot of topics about sex and intimacy, because intimacy is mostly about relationship. The main goal is to show that life after injury, of course, will not be the same, but sex and relationship can be great again. You can have again date, you can have partners and so on. How does this work? First of all, we are trying always to do some projects that can be disseminated, not only small circle, but a lot of people. We also disseminated our manuals for some organization, and not only organization, but also for hospitals, our warriors with injuries. So basically everyone who wants to read something about this can go on our website, can read our research or our book online. We can give this book offline in our office in Kyiv, in Vinnytsia, and some other small offices, or we can deliver our book for free by post.
So you said you wanted to make this project even before the full-scale invasion.
Mm-hmm.
What was the reason for that? You were getting inquiries from veterans, and that's how you saw that this is a topic that needs to be covered.
Yes, actually Veteran Hub works with veterans from 2017, and we provide some services for veterans and their families, and during these services we listen to the veterans, to their problems, to their needs, and based on these needs and problems we make our researchers, projects, and so on. So it really gives us a lot of insights because we talk directly to our audience in our offices, online or by phone, with veterans, I mean, or with their families. And this gives us opportunity to do some really useful projects for them.
And you said that at first the response was not there, that people thought, oh, well, this is not a very important topic. How is it actually in Ukraine right now? If you talk about war, war veterans, sexual life, intimacy, is that something that is being talked about in Ukraine at the moment? Or is it like a very quiet, very, very quiet life by itself?
Actually, the topic about sex and sexual education is still not on the level we want in Ukraine, not only about veterans, but about all population. And we tried also with this project to like open this veil of shadow about sex, because it's important part of everyone's life, intimacy, partnership, sex. Of course, after full-scale invasion, there are more people who are warriors, who unfortunately have injuries. And when we talked during this, our research with veterans and warriors who had injuries, they said that at some point when you are in hospital, you don't think about anything because you're in pain and you like in this treatment, but after, when there are a stage of recovery, you are starting to think about such things like, can I swim again, can I date again, can I have sex again, and so on. And actually there's no one with whom they can talk, because sometimes medical personnel cannot talk about this because they don't have competence, or because they are shy, and so on and so on. So also this manual to help answer these questions, because this recovery is important in physical and also psychological way. And when person knows that I can again have sex, I can again have partnership, I can be loved again, and even with my injury, I can be beautiful again for my partner or potential partner. It helps to recovery and to have your life as you want, in how it can be in this all circumstances with war again.
To whom it is a bigger challenge to get back to the sex life after getting an injury? To the wounded soldier or to his or her partner?
It's hard to answer because it's different processes and it's different acceptance. And when we spoke with partners of wounded veterans, we collected different data, but mostly partners said that it was crucial to talk about this first experience after injury and to accept this fact that the first time after injury can be not so good as they imagined, but it's okay, it's life, and like in life, sex also can be different. Also, it was important that for some couples, sex life started to be more interesting because they started to use sex toys, they started to play games and so on. They started to be more
adventurous.
Yeah, more adventurous. And also they started to listen more about needs of their partners. There was one couple and they said that for us it was so interesting how it would be, because the woman of that veteran said that I have never had sex with man with interest, and he also my partner had never this sex with in this position, and for us it was adventurous. They liked it and they tried a lot of ways, they tried a lot of sex toys and so on. And also a lot of veterans, when they have injuries, they said that they are nervous about partners, how their partners will perceive them, will they be beautiful in sexual way for them. And partners always answered that we love them always, and injury does not change these people. And in sometimes injury is like evidence, not evidence, but it's a part of this person, because it shows the life choices and the life experience of this person.
Well, these are the positive examples. Probably there is no statistics which show us how many couples stay together after one of them has gotten an injury in the war.
Our research was qualitative, so we have no like percents about this.
Right.
But at the same time, even in our research, there were couples that split after the injury. But the main reason of this was not the injury, but their relationship. So injury does not play like crucial part in their splitting. And also we can see, and we have one of article about this on our website, that for some of women, there are even like fetishization of wounded warriors. Yeah, fetish of wounded warriors. And we wrote this article that everyone should be aware that, first of all, there are no wounded warriors, there are people. And it's not defining part of their personality, this injury.
You have put out two different guidebooks for injured women soldiers and injured men soldiers. What are the main differences in these two books?
Actually, they are pretty the same. We have about physical aspects and about mental aspects in both books. So it's pretty the same about on this part. But sometimes the tone of voice are different, and the colors of book are different. And the last chapter of this book is about physical injuries and sex. So how with one or another injury you can have sex, in which position, what should you know, what should you do, and so on. And of course, because we have different bodies, when women have different injuries during the war, and it requires special poses or special activities during sex, and men have another physical injuries that requires different type of activities during sex.
You said that these guidebooks were based on one previous book by American author, but you also said that you have changed it for Ukrainian soldiers in Ukrainian context. Would be that Ukrainian context?
Book by Catherine Ellis, which was inspiration for our project, is mainly about injuries and what you should do with this injury in sex, how you can stay, how you can lay, how what can you use to help you. Yes, our book, based on our research, we do on more topics, not only about physical activities with injuries during the sex. We wrote this book with psychologists, gynecologists, rehabilitation specialists, and there are chapters about returning from war, or which stages you can face and which barriers you can face when you are returning from war, about physical body, about what can influence your libido, about mental aspects, about communication, how you can communicate what you like, what you dislike, what you can do or what you cannot do because of your injury. And the last chapter was about physical activities in sex. We also tried to cover the most common injuries based on going to war, because the type of war is changing and there are now some different injuries that there were in the past, before the full-scale invasion.
What are the most common injuries at the moment?
We wrote about amputation, about genital damage to the genitals, about spinal cord injury, and about, I don't know how to say correctly it in English, but it's cranial tram or craniocerebral tramway. These are the most common now, but of course we wrote about only physical injuries, not psychological. Mental consequences does affect your relationship and your sex, and we tried to cover the most common consequences and how they can influence your life. We also made 3 videos on our website. It's with our main message about that sex and relationship can be great even after injury, and we had a lot of responses, and it was mostly positive response. That the book provides answers to the questions that wounded veterans are interested in, and we printed 5,000 copies, and we distributed it to hospitals and organizations, and there are still requests for additional copies, and we are planning to do more copies. So it was great to receive this response on our project.
I've talked to many, many Ukrainians, and what I see that everyone tries to find his or her place in this big effort to fight for your country. Is this the place you feel comfortable with, that you are doing a work that needs to be done and you feel satisfied about your work?
Veteran Hub as organization from 2017 may have been made a lot of projects and services for veterans, and we are still doing a lot, but we also understand that we have to do more and more, because our main philosophy is that when veterans return from war, they return not to some specific area or to some specific ministry or to some specific hospital. They return to society, and we as a society have to be prepared, have to do a lot of homework, because in hospitals, in shops, in public transport, in ministries, in non-governmental organization, and basically everywhere there are and there will be veterans, and we have to do all we can to make their returning more subtle, to give them, if they need, because not everyone needs this support.
Do you see the RESEX program as finished and it's done, or do you see it somehow developing in the future?
We are thinking about next iterations of this project, because first of all, as I said previously, we want to disseminate more copies of this book. And we also think about maybe next project with healthcare professionals, in order to teach them how they can communicate, ethically communicate with veterans on these topics. It's one of the possible way to broad our project on RESEX.
All right. Thank you so much, Katrina.
Thank you.
Raidieraksts drošinātājs. Paldies Dīvam par interviju. Man tikai jāatgādina vēl tas, ka viņš sarunājās ar Ukrainā lielākās kara veterānu nevalstiskās organizācijas Veterinu Hub pārstāvi Katarinu Skorohodu. Jā, nu klausoties šo interviju, man prātā nāk uzreiz tas tiešām, ka tā ir viena liela nozīmīga lieta, par ko daudzi varbūt tiešām neaizdomājas, kas arī kara veterāniem un ne tikai kara veterāniem, bet arī viņu otrajai pusītei ir ārkārtīgi būtiski, jo, nu, te jau ir runa par to, kā atgriežoties no kara, nu, neatkarīgi, vai tu dosies pēc tam atpakaļ vai nē, nu, tev jau ir ne tikai jāizdzīvo pēc traumas, bet tomēr arī jādzīvo, un šī intimitāte ir viena no tādām, man liekas, ārkārtīgi būtiskām dzīves sastāvdaļām, un šī programma izklausās, ka tiešām ļoti tajā palīdz. Jā, un tur arī tika minēts par to, ka, nu, varbūt tās runas un atklātība un vēlme par to runāt, nu, pašā Ukrainā tā publiskāk nav varbūt vēl tik liela. Mums varbūt šķiet, ka tas šeit Latvijā mēs arvien atklātāk par to spējam runāt arī publiski un savā starpā, bet Ukrainā laikam vēl, nu, tam ir jātiek līdzi, jātiek uz priekšu šajā tematā, bet katrā ziņā vismaz galvenais, ka par to tiek runāts.
Jā, nu labi, tur ir arī, protams, ļoti daudz tēmu, par ko runāt, un viss ir aktuāls, un viss ir izcināms tūlīt un tagad. Katrā ziņā, lūk, katrs atrod savu veidu, kā palīdzēt, kā dot savu artavu. Ja jums šī saruna šķita būtiska, tāda, kuru ir vērts dzirdēt arī citiem, padalieties ar to, sūtiet linkus, spiežat tur ikšķīšas vai zvaigznītes, vai ko tur jāspiež, kurā servisā. Tas tāpēc, lai šo raidierakstu dzirdētu vairāk cilvēku, un ja jums ir sakrājies arī kaut kas sakāms, varbūt jums ir kāda tēma, ko jūs gribētu mums ieteikt, par ko mums parunāt vai no ar cilvēku Ukrainā vai Latvijā, tad rakstiet mums, piemēram, Kārlis Krastiņš mums atrakstīja viņu ļoti konkrēti jautājumu, kas jāuzdod Kristīnai, es jau viņai nosūtīju, paskatīsimies, ja viņai būs ko teikt, tad dzirdēsim atbildi nākamajā izlaidumā, tas jau būs 65. Drošinātāja laidiens, jo šis ir 64. kurš nonācis jau līdz pašām beigām. Man šajā reizē viss, Richard, tev?
Jā, man vēl tikai piebilstams tas, ka mēs runājām par kara veterāniem, par ievainojumiem. Gaidam arī noteikti nākamās nedēļas epizodi. Turpināsim šo tēmu, jo tur es sarunājos arī ar vienu no kara veterāniem. Un interesanti, ka, nu, ir dažādi veidi, protams, kā atgriezties dzīvē vai, nu, atkopties no ievainojuma līdz atgriešanās laikam frontē. Un viens no tiem veidiem ir sports. Un tam konkrēti Amerikas Savienotajās valstīs tiek veltīts tāds īpašs kara veterānu spēles, kur arī Ukraiņu komanda piedalās. Tieši tās notiek tagad martā, un ar vienu no šīs te komandas locekļiem es arī esmu sarunājies, bet, nu, par to jau vairāk tagad, kad nestāstīšu, to jau dzirdēsiet nākamās nedēļas epizodē, sagaidiet arī to.
Nu jā, tas pēc nedēļas, un šajā nedēļā, kurā jūs gaidīsiet drošinātais 65. epizodi, es novēlu jums, lai tā jums būtu gan sportiska, gan arī ar veselīgu seksu piepildīt. Visu labu un atcerieties! Drošinātājs, tas ir skaidri un personīgi par karu Ukrainā. Raidieraksts drošinātājs.